You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to the local, national and international listeners to another edition of Q&A on this day, the 8th of Dhul Qa'dah, 1441 and the 30th of June, 29th of June, 2020. Kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group with our esteemed Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. Before we proceed with the Q&A program, firstly, the Zakah Nisab currently is 6,256. The Mahar Fatimi is 16,316. The minimum Mahar for the Hanafi Madhab is 327 Rand. The minimum for the Maliki Madhab is 109 Rand. And of course, in the Shafi and the Hanbali Madhab, there is no minimum Mahar. Now, for our local Christians, if you have any questions, please WhatsApp your questions to 084-786-3132. And for the international listeners, +27 84 786 3132. We will now, inshallah, cross over to Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Mawana Khalid Yaqub. Jazakallahu khairan. Our Mawana Arafat has taken ill. Make dua for him. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grants him Shifa-e Kamil and all those people throughout the globe who are not feeling too well. May Almighty Allah grant one and all Shifa-e Kamil.
Our first question, when moving into a new house based on sunnah, what acts should be performed?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The best day to move in will be on a Wednesday or Friday. Why Wednesday? Our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha reported, whenever we want to start with something, we should start on a Wednesday. And we know this Wednesday is 1st of July as well, so that will be a good start for that person there. And if you study the Hanafi fiqh, you will find Allama Marghinani rahimahullah, the author of Hidayah, he would always start the academic year on a Wednesday as well. And thereafter, Friday is the best day to move in because it is Sayyidul Ayyam, the best day of the week. And therefore, the ulama have written, even if you're opening your shop or new venture or factory or what have you, then best is on a Friday and after Jumu'ah. فَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْأَوْا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْأَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And after the Jumu'ah Salat, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. So you look and you seek for the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And when you move into your new premises, read Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, the longest surah in the Noble Quran. Iqra Surah Al-Baqarah, read Surah Baqarah. Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً, it will bring barakah, blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً, and if you do not read it, it will bring about remorse and regret. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةً, not everybody will be happy that you moved into your new shop, new house, new premises. You have people who are jealous, envious and so forth. So Almighty Allah will protect you from the evil forces as well. And the hadith is authentic in Sahih Muslim.
the second-hand device online. I feel the price I put is too low. A few people have already contacted me. Is it okay if I increase the price that I advertised it for? I haven't made any agreements with the people who contacted me.
If you advertise any, for example, you know, electrical machine or whatever merchandise in the newspaper or on the social media and what have you, people contacted you and then you felt that, you know, you can get a better price. So ethically, remember that if you agreed with a certain person, then it would not be permissible for you that you now go and increase it. But you mentioned that you have not reached an agreement with any person. So let's say you advertise it initially 400 rand and now you say you want to now change the price to 500 rand, for example. So because we have not reached an agreement with any person, yes, Islamically it would be permissible and the deal would be willing buyer, willing seller, and Islamically totally halal and permissible.
People say that you shouldn't go to the bathroom or outside the house at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Does this have any basis in Islam or is it mere superstition?
You know, when our people came from India over 100 years ago, 150 years ago, so they brought some lal kitabs, some red kitabs with them, a lot of fairy tales and superstition. So they would tell the children that you must not go to toilet and bathroom 12 o'clock at night. So if the youngster doesn't go, he'll mess all his clothing and everything. Common sense needs to prevail, you know. Common sense is no more common. Likewise, they'll tell you 12 o'clock you can't do anything and so forth during the day. So all this is superstition and has no basis in Islam. We must remember we are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We belong to the Muslim and we believe in the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah and the creed and belief structure of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Almighty Allah Jalla wala, and we should not carry this type of superstitious notions and ideas. All that are rejected.
I would like to remove some trees from my property. From the Islamic perspective, is there anything that I have to do before removing these trees, uprooting them?
Remember that in Islam, if you are going to extend your house, your outbuilding, or you want to build a garage, or for example, that you know that the trees are in the way, so Islamically, yes, it is permissible that you uproot it and remove it. However, just for fun, and you know, especially fruit trees and so forth, they're not harming anybody, then you should leave it, obviously. But remember that you people say now that you have to read this, you read this. So you just say Bismillah and you remove it. There's no problem with that. And inshallah, no harm will come to you. More so when you are extending your house or your garage or your outbuilding and so forth and so on. All that would be acceptable and permissible in Islam.
I want to find out, my friend is married. Before she got married, she always had her own room. She goes often to her parents to stay. The question she wants to know is, after marriage, does her room still belong to her or does it pass on to the next siblings? Do they need her permission?
Remember that before marriage you had your own room and now you are married, so now you finish that home is no more your home. You were from Durban and you married here in Johannesburg, Pretoria. So that is your home now where you are residing, staying with your husband. When you go for 2-3 days there to Durban, you musafir and you're a traveler and you're not even going to read full salat now. When you read salat there, Zohar you will read 2 rakats, Asr 2 rakats and Isha 2 rakats, and Witr you will read according to Hanafis. So to say that no, this is my room and you know nobody can use it, all that is fairy tales and has no place in Islam. Once you are married, that the home of yours is finished now, your room is finished, and remember your other siblings, your other brothers, sisters or parents, whoever want to use that room can use it, and you are history now as far as that room and house go. You stay with your husband and you carry on with the geography now.
With regards to Sajda Tilawa, are you allowed to Make the sajda between Asr and Maghrib and Fajr and sunrise.
Remember that at those times there, if you read the Quran Sharif, after Fajr you read Quran and then there was a sajda tilawat, or after Asr that you read the ayat and there was sajda tilawat, and then you perform the sajda, that is totally permissible, there's no problem with that. But you read the sajda now, after Maghrib, after Isha, night time, and then you want to perform the sajda tilawat after Fajr, before sunrise, or you want to perform it after Asr, before sunset, so that is not permissible. So we must draw the distinction. If you read it at that time and you perform the sajda tilawat at that time, totally permissible and acceptable.
In a case where I am transferring zakah to another country, can the transfer charge be paid from the zakah money?
That's not permissible. Remember that nowadays you want to transfer from here to Malawi, from here to Pakistan, from here to India or wherever. So now they will charge you, you know, all the banks charge a certain rate. So let's say we just use an easy figure, $100. So you want to transfer $100 to ABC XYZ country. But by the time the money reaches there, that person there only received 97, 96, 98. US dollars or the equivalent of it, because the bank charged $2-3, for example, for the transfer and so forth. So you can't say that no, that my zakat 2-3% of it went away in bank charges and 97%, 98% reached the recipient. So what you should do in a case like that, you should say you will put inshallah $102, $103. So $100 will be the zakat and the 2-3 extra will be the lilla. So in that way there, you know that the people who are the recipients, they are receiving the full $100 or the equivalent thereof. So always we should be take cognizance of these facts and so forth. Therefore, you see, even the travel agents nowadays, you know, obviously the travel agents are very badly hit with all the lockdown and Hajj cancelled and Umrah Ramadan time cancelled and so forth. But if you speak to the agents and they will tell you that if you are using cash money and you are transferring cash money into the account, then you will have to pay a little bit extra because of bank charges and so forth and so on. So remember, that will be acceptable because otherwise they'll be losing out. So similarly in zakat, we're supposed to be paying more, not paying less. So therefore, use the criteria that I gave you now. $100 will be zakat, and the other $2-5 extra you put, you use your lilla money, and in that way there, that will be used for your transfer charges, bank charges and what have you, then there is no problem.
If my brother only has 1,000 rand in his account to spend for the month after paying all his expenses, can I give him zakat?
No, you can't give him zakat, because you must remember today the youngsters, they will say they need a cell phone, then they will say they need money for movies, then they will tell you they need money for their girlfriend, then they'll need money for sports and entertainment. By the time they finish their list, you must remember, they will say they only left with 500 rand, 1,000 rand. So half the activities which they are using their money is totally haram, since when movies and all that are acceptable in Islam is totally condemned, since when cell phone is a necessity and so forth, they have the smartphones and all that, since when the sports and all that became part of Islam. So we need to understand that people are abusing zakat today like you can't believe, and every person, every second, third person looks for loophole and yes, give me zakat because now I want to lead a very, very comfortable, luxurious life. So people like that, you must never give them zakat. He's so young, so weekends, instead of killing time, wasting time, tell him to go and work somewhere instead of sitting on his laurels and watching TV the whole time. So our youngsters need to become proactive, remember that. Definitely not permissible to give them zakat.
Is Allah Ta'ala really merciful? Does He forgive? If so, why does Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala like to punish?
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the most merciful one to show mercy. How are we surviving? Each one of us is surviving on the mercy of Allah. Show me just today that you take from morning time till now, how many sins, how many vices, how many wrong we did, and Almighty Allah did not punish us. We still can see, we can hear, we had 3 meals, and we have so many bounties, favors, which we can never ever enumerate. So that is the manifestation of the mercy of Almighty Allah. So therefore, Almighty Allah states, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Verily, Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. My brother, you should be reading, you brother, sister, the dua and supplication of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, chapter 7, verse 151. Surah 7, chapter 7, verse 151. وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. O beloved Allah, include us in your special, special mercy. Whilst, Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. And remember that Almighty Allah punishes when this human being takes undue advantage. That people are busy with the prostitution, people are busy with the wine, dine and swine. People are busy with haram activities day and night. So occasionally Almighty Allah sends the tsunami, the earthquake, the wars to show that, oh human being, come to your senses. Otherwise, I will definitely punish you. And I'm still giving you a second chance, a third chance. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Surely we punish them, but the smaller punishment, not the biggest punishment. Biggest punishment will be death, and then there'll be no second chance, so that you return to the straight path. So human being must not blame Almighty Allah. He must blame himself for all these musibat, calamities, disasters that are befalling them. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When the calamities befall you, it's because of your own deeds and your own actions. Cause and effect, action and reaction.
Friend of mine cannot read the Quran in Arabic so well, so he reads the English translation. Does he get the same reward?
No, remember that if you read the English, Afrikaans or any language, the translation, or you read transliteration, so you don't get the reward of reciting the noble Quran. Quran Sharif is bilisan in Arabiyyin mubin. It is in the Arabic language. Therefore, it is compulsory upon every Muslim male, female, who was born Muslim or they embrace Islam. They must make a concerted effort to learn the basic Arabic language. So in that way there, they read the Quran Sharif in the Arabic language. Otherwise, you're just reading a translation and so forth. So in the starting, obviously, you try and by heart Surah Fatiha and for 2, 3, 4 surahs. But with that, a concerted effort must be made so that you learn the Arabic alphabet. So many people were new Muslim and now, mashallah, they became a hafiz of Quran. They became great, great scholars of Islam. And because where there's a will, there's a way. So no person can say, no, I can't manage. That if you are negative, then things won't happen. So become positive and make that effort. And inshallah, in 1 month, 6 months, 3 months, you will learn the Arabic alphabet and you will know how to read the Quran Sharif thoroughly and properly.
I am a 42-year-old female and for the past 2 years my hair has been falling a lot, so much so I am becoming bald. I do make dua daily for this, but is there any specific dua to prevent my hair falling off?
Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kulu zayt waddahinu bihi fa innahu min shajaratin mubaraka. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. All of you who have hair problems or your hair is falling and so forth and so on, so eat olives and use the olive oil and apply the olive oil and smear it on your head, on your hair, and inshallah you will see Almighty Allah will make it easy for you. You can also read Surah Fatiha 7 times and then blow in it, and thereafter you take the olive oil and apply it on your hair. So inshallah Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make life easier for you. So remember, there are different ways that for us to tackle these problems.
We will now, inshallah, go for a break and resume with the second segment of this edition after the break.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Welcome to this edition of Q&A, the second segment on this 8th day of Dhul Qa'dah 1441, kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies with the esteemed Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. If you do have a question for our local listeners, the number is 084-786-3132, and for the international listeners, +27 84 786-3132. We will go on to our next question. I have taken an oath that I will never speak to men again. And I was part of a chat group. I left the chat group, but one of the men wished me Eid Mubarak, and I replied to this. Does my oath break?
Yes, you said you will never speak to a male, and then you replied to him, so that also is speaking. So you will have to feed now 10 poor Muslims for kafara to it'amu ashrati masakin, and that will be the kafara, the penalty for desecrating the sacred name of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So take out 400 rand or so and give out 10 poor Muslims 40 rand each, and in that way there your kafara will be paid. So make sure you take out, say, for just to be on the safe side, 400 rand, 40 rand each, and you give 10 poor Muslim people who are very, very poor, entitled to receive zakat, and that will be the kafara, and make tawbah also. So therefore, we need to be very careful. When we take an oath, we should try and fulfill it. But if the oath is un-Islamic or we violated it, then the kafara is also compulsory.
How do I make wudu using the khuffain?
Remember that nowadays it's winter, so many people, men, women, want to use the leather socks, the khufain, and that is the sign of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was in Iraq, and there in Iraq they asked him that what are the signs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, was a genius. He said, "Antufaddil al-Shaykhain," you must give Shaykhain preference, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the highest rank and status among all the companions and students of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wa tuhibb al-khatanain, and you must love both the son-in-laws of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and twice the son-in-law of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first married to Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu anha, after her demise, then to Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's other daughter, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who was married to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So you must love both the son-in-law. وَتَرَى الْمَسْحَ عَلَى الْخُفَيْنِ, and you believe that مَسْحَ عَلَى الْخُفَيْنِ is permissible. Let's see the time now in South Africa. So we know it's already Isha time, but you have still not performed your Isha. You say you will perform it after Q&A, for example. So in a case like that, you perform your wudu and complete wudu. You wear your leather socks, and thereafter, there 10 up past 10, you read your Isha Salat. But your wudu only broke at 11 o'clock. So 11 o'clock will be the starting time. And till tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, if you don't take it out, remember, so you can continue with your masa from 11 tonight till 11 tomorrow night. And that is for not for a person who is a musafir, but a mukim, people who are a resident and people who are not traveling. And if you are a traveler and musafir, then 72 hours, 3 nights, 3 days. So that is how it works. How do you perform the masa on the khufain? So you perform your wudu now, and then you wash your face, wash your hands, made masa of your head. So you place your right hand, the fingers of your right hand, on the right foot there by your toe. toes, and your left hand, that is your four fingers by your left toes, and then you bring it up, you bring the fingers up simultaneously, the right hand for the right foot and the left hand for the left foot. So that is how you make masa on the leather socks, and remember, you continue like that. However, if you are in need of a ghusl, husband-wife relationship or something, wet dream and so forth, then you have to remove the khufayn and you can't continue with it, because now ghusl is compulsory, and ghusl means a compulsory bath. Then in a case like that, those leather socks must be removed. So always remember these basic rules.
I am a bit confused. I don't know what's the difference between shaitan and the nafs. Do they both work together?
Yes, normally you must remember, human being, we have three enemies. One is the shaitan. The shaitan is the external enemy. The shaitan is from outside, that he will come and beautify, embellish and adorn the vices. You see how the casinos, the escort agencies, they have 101 lights there. They want to entice people, seduce people and so forth to the vices and the evil. So these are satanic activities. Then the nafs is internal. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. So that is the internal. He tells you, do this, do that. See that Maulana is doing it. This person is doing it. So why are you not doing it? And remember, the difference will be, initially the vices will come from the shaitan. And then once we become accustomed to it, then the shaitan leaves us, and our nafs, our inner self, we continue with those vices and evil. Therefore, during the month of Ramadan, you see that the major shayateen and the big shayateen are shackled up and they are in jail and in prison, yet the vices continue, because the nafs, our inner self, is so accustomed to those vices and sins. And so one is the external, the Satan and his shaitan and his cronies and comrades. Second is our internal, the nafs, our warm fancies and desires. Third one is society. This weekend, yeah, is a wedding, so we must have this, we must have that. Tuesday night, tomorrow night will be, so remember, Monday night, then Wednesday night will be, you know, that shower, so bridal shower. Thursday night will be Khatmu Quran. Friday night will be the big jowl and the music and so forth. So all these satanic activities, because people demand us to do so, and then Sunday, Saturday will be nikah, Sunday walima, and we say we want barakah and so forth. So the problem today is when we move our focus away from the pleasure of Almighty Allah, from pleasing Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather we're looking for fame and pleasure of the people and the masses. So Quran warns us, wa in tuti akthara man fil ard, when you are going to be obedient to majority of the people, yudilluka an sabilillah, they will lead you astray from the path of Almighty Allah. So always a Muslim, he will suppress his desires, will fight the shaitan, whether human form or jinn form, and won't worry about the masses. His aim or her aim must be, wallahu wa rasuluhu ahakku ay yurdu, that our aim is to please Almighty Allah Jalla wala and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A deceased maid leaves behind two brothers and a sister. What fraction do each inherit?
In a case like that, we're supposed to know that how things will work from the start. Whenever a Muslim person passes away, then remember that first will be burial, funeral expenses. Thereafter, the debts of the deceased, whether it's personal debts, corporate business debts, all that will be included. And remember, justice delayed is justice denied. People today make the creditors wait and wait. That's totally unacceptable. Third one, remember, member is wasiya. Wasiya is for an organization, masjid, madrasa, orphanage, or a person who's a non-heir. So maximum will be 1/3 of the net and total estate. And the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So yeah, in this case, their brother's sister passed away and they were survived. The heirs were two brothers and one sister. So it's straightforward, 40-40% for the two brothers and 20% for the sister. Quran Kareem states, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذْوِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. So for the male, that is the brother in this instance, will be double, and the sister will be single. So that is how you will then wind up the estate, and all this should be expedited without any delay.
Can a person use seal skins, etc., as kufain?
Remember that so many people send us, you know, can I use this khuf, can I use this khuf? We cannot pass a fatwa and verdict until and unless we see it. So I'll just give you a few ideas. Number one, remember the khuf must be such that it must be waterproof. If water is going through it, then you can't use it. Second one, it is better it is from skin, but it's not necessary that it must be from the leather and so forth and all forth. If it is synthetic leather and so forth, so that is also acceptable. Then third one, you must remember that it should not have shoelace and all these type of things and so forth and so on. So then only you will say that is acceptable. But you know, we don't know all the mix, this skin and that skin and so forth and so on. So best is you contact your local ulama and you ask them that is it permissible to use these type of khufain, leather socks and so forth, or synthetic leather, or whatever it is, provided it is very, very thick and no water is seeping through, then it will be acceptable.
Who are the Agawat people in Medina? Agawat, it's A-G-H-A-W-A-T, that's how he's spelling it.
Yes, remember that Agawat, that was in the olden days when we went in the 70s, 74, the first time I went from Karachi, and my parents, Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus, came from South Africa. So you would see these people there. So they were, in English, you call them the eunuch. So meaning that, you know, they were castrated and so forth, and they were in charge of the crowd control and so forth, to see that the men, women, nobody must come and mix things up, and they were the people who were very strict and all that. So they had small rooms there around the Haram Sharif, and they would come out, they had a stick also in their hand. So they were the people in the 50s, 60s, 70s. Now slowly, obviously, that you just find police and you won't find them there. But still, if you know the old Haram Sharif and you know how it was structured, their rooms are still there. Some of the rooms are still there. But remember, it is now used for different purposes. So this was in the good old ages. Remember 50, 60, 70 years ago that you would find this type of people.
What are the permissible rituals to be done on completion of hifz, as people have very lavish jalsas and giving of gifts, etc.?
Remember, today the whole thing is done for name and fame in most instances, and therefore you find that there's no barakat left. That youngster finished the Quran, but after 5-10 years you tell him to perform Taraweeh. So most of them, they have forgotten the Quran, or they can't even read 10 rakats, 8 rakats, just know how to read 2-4 rakats. So JC niyat waisi barakat. So from the start the aim was to show off name and fame. So remember, this is unacceptable. When the Ummah are suffering today, millions of people don't have a square meal, and we have a Hifz Jalsa. The Hifz Jalsa costs 50, 100, more than 100,000 rand, depending how many people we invite and where we having it and so forth and so on. Yes, you really want to have something, so give the meal to the poor people and thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, our son, our daughter has become MashaAllah, a Hafiz, Hafiza. So it is a great occasion. There's no question about it. Quran Kareem states, Kul bi fadlillahi wa bi rahmatihi, fabidhalika falyafrahu. Allah Jalla Wala is already, you know, telling you what you're supposed to do, that it is the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah upon you, and you're supposed to be happy and rejoicing. Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. It is better than all your material assets assets and wealth and so forth. But the manner method that we are adopting nowadays, the videos will be there, the women will be there, and the dressing and so forth and so on. And remember, this youngster there is like now for him that he is the center of attraction and so forth. So that is not what it's supposed to do. Remember that when we became a Hafiz, I finished Hifz in 1970 with Allah's help and mercy by Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, my honorable Ustad. No one in my family even knew, beside my parents, my brothers, sisters, nobody knew. And people in Heidelberg, nobody, very few people knew. So it carried on like that for weeks and weeks, you know, that we still go madrasa, come back and so forth. So all this started afterwards now in the 80s, 90s. Now it's gone beyond, you know, description. So it's like a big jaw and a party going on. So therefore, we're not in favor of this, because remember, it's just far too much money being used, and the intention also is not right. We will hardly see poor people there. You will just see the elite are there. So definitely, that is defeating the purpose of the jalsa.
A sister writes, is it permissible to cut off the split ends from my hair?
Remember that for you to cut your hair or the split ends and all that is not permissible. All of you, the ladies who have problems with your hair and so forth, very easy. You drink Zamzam water and just take a few drops of Zamzam and then sprinkle it over your hair and your head. Likewise, you take olive oil and then you can read Surah Fatiha, blow on it 7 times and read Surah Fatiha 7 times and then blow. And thereafter, mashallah, that you apply it on your head. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us authentic hadith in Ibn Majah, ma uzamzama lima shuriba lahu. Whatever intention you make with zamzam water, inshallah, Allah jalla wala will make it a reality. And if you study Siratul Nabawiyya, the seerah of Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who takes zamzam water and then make tadallu. Ta, ote, dod, lam, ain, tadallu. What is the meaning of tadallu? And pour water on the head, Mubarak. So I'm not saying now you, the ladies, must do that in full view of the men. You take your jug or you take some bottle or what have you, fill it up with zamzam, and mashallah, when you are there, hajj time, umrah time, and so forth, then in the confines of your room, then you pour it over your head and see, make this intention, Allah Jalla Wala will let your hair grow straight, strong, everything. Likewise, the olive oil, likewise, the honey you have. So many things you can do. So why must you use that option if it is not permissible? The cutting of the hair for ladies is only permissible umrah time, hajj time. Not then whenever we feel like we just want to cut and so forth. That's for the men, not for the women. Women can't do that. It's not permissible.
Any merit in passing away on a Friday?
Yes, 100%. You must remember that the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tawaffahu Allahu yawm al-jumu'ah aw laylataha waqahu Allahu min fitnatil qabr. Whosoever passes away on a Friday, the night of Friday, what we call Thursday night, or the day of Friday till Maghrib, till sunset, with Iman and Islam, then all might Allah protects that person from the torment of the punishment till the day of Qiyamah. If you look at our ulama and seniors, how many I know, they used to cry and beg and petition Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Ya Allah, grant us death on a Friday. Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi, Nawwarallahu marqadahu, that it was Ramadan, it was Friday, and he passed away, and his janaza salat was read there in absentia, ghaiban, in Haram Sharif in 1999. I was there, I remember. And you must remember that you take, for example, Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib, Nawwarallahu marqadahu, he passes away on a Friday. Haji Farooq Sahib, he passes away on a Friday. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to make dua, Ya Allah, give me death, I pass away on a Monday. Why? Because whatever happened to Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best. So for us to make make dua like that. Ya Allah, let me die with Iman and Islam on a Friday. Let me pass away on a Monday. Let me pass away during Ramadan with Iman and Islam. So all that is not only permissible, but is highly recommended and desirable as well. So there's no question about it. But now the people, they wonder that non-Muslims also die and so forth on a Friday or in Ramadan or 27 night. So remember, for such people, there's no virtue. Abu Jahl also died in Ramadan, so you must remember he was dispatched to hell. Abu Lahab also died in Ramadan. So Abu Talib also died in Ramadan. All of them dispatched to Jahannam. So Iman, Islam, remember, is the prerequisite and the condition. So therefore, we must make this very clear. Whenever a person passes away on any day, and more so on a Friday or on a Monday or during Ramadan, then success that person will obtain and attain, provided he or she passed away with Iman and Islam.
Are men with long hair allowed to tie their hair up in ponytails?
Not permissible. That is shaitaniyat. That zalika kiflu shaitan. So that is the share of the shaitan. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, men can shave their hair, men can cut their hair, all that they can do. So what you want to make that chotli? Chotli means that ponytail at the back and so forth. Yes, for women to do that is very, very good. And remember that for the women, I told you the hadith is mentioned in Musnad al-Firdaus by Abu, so you must remember that by Daylami. And what is written, that the angels, they make dua. What dua they make? Subhana man zayyana rijal billiha. Ya Allah, everlasting glory, perfection for you. Enhance the beauty of the man with their beards. So the longer we keep the beard, remember, the more and more dua the angels are making, supplicating for us. One nisa bizawaib. Ya Allah, enhance the beauty of the ladies with the long, long hair, with the long, long plaits and so forth. Today the women, because they are now whole day obsessed with the Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood culture, so now they want to keep short hair. From the back you don't know is Eve or is Steve. So all this is haram business. That in Islam, male must remain male and the female must remain female. So the man, you can't give such long hair that now you want to make ponytails and all that is haram. That is imitating women, imitating non-Muslim culture, is against the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, for women, the longer you keep the hair, the better it is. So that is our Islam, and we need not be apologetic to anybody, and there's no need to compromise on our Sharia in any aspect.
My husband wrote talaq 3 times and he told me 3 times. Is it valid and do I need a witness because it's already done?
Remember that when the husband uttered the talaq 3 times and he wrote it also 3 times, then in a case like that, there's ijma and consensus. Whether you follow the Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanafi, Hanbali school, all 3 talaqs are valid, even if there's no witness there. Sometimes the husband will try and fool and beguile and deceive the wife and say no, that the talaq is not valid, because remember, there are no witnesses. Yes, we all agree that if there are witnesses, it's better, for this very reason, so there's no dispute. But the validity of the talaq is not dependent on witnesses. So even if there were no witnesses, remember that marriage is finished and you cannot reconcile, you cannot remarry, and you must live separate lives. You, the husband, you move out and leave the house to the wife, or you, the wife, you move out, you go to your parents' place, and the husband, you stay there, and all the expenses during the iddat and the waiting period, which will be 3 menses according to Hanafis, Hanbalis, will be upon the ex-husband, or the 3 periods of cleanliness, so that expenses will be upon the husband, ex-husband, according to the Shafi'is and Malikis and so forth. So we all need to be clear on these type of issues here. And you can't let, while we're busy with this, let me mention the other dimension and aspect as well. Sometimes we find some crooked maulanas and crooked sheikhs and imams and so forth. Allah protect us. They are called a'imma mudillin. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must fear them more than you fear Dajjal. And the hadith is authentic in Musnad Ahmad. So what these people do, that after the iddat is finished now, so they will get that lady married, or they themselves get married for one day, one night, and what have you. And thereafter, they give talaq to that lady, and then she goes into iddat again, and then they perform the nikah with the first husband. Know very well that she is not halal for the first husband. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُحَلِّلَ وَالْمُحَلَّلَ لَهُ, Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the first husband and the second husband. And she, this is called nikahu tahleel. She's still not halal for the first husband. And remember the shortcuts and loopholes. These people who do so, they are cursed by Almighty Allah. It's a major sin. And remember that Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbali's, Hanafi school, remember Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, all of them say that that lady is not halal for her first husband. So therefore we need to understand what the Sharia is teaching us, and don't look for loopholes in these type of issues.
What happens when people cry loudly at a mayyit?
The hadith is mentioned, إِنَّ الْمَيِّتَ لَيُعَذَّبُ بِبُكَاءِ أَهْلِي أَلَيْهِ, that if you open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. So if you look at the superficial meaning of the hadith, that the mayyit will be punished when the people are crying loudly and so forth. So the ulama have written, that is, when this person, whilst he or she was alive, he told his family members that, see, when I die and pass away, then you must cry and encourage them and so forth, so then the punishment will be upon him. But if he told them that no, you must not cry and so forth and so on, and they, the family members, put up a big performance and behave like actors and actresses, then there's no sin upon him because he prohibited them. Then the sin will be upon those people who are carrying on with these un-Islamic actions. However, Islam is a religion for all times, all places, all circumstances. If you cry unintentionally and not for people, and you know, as a drama artist and so forth, and a drama queen and so forth, like how some women do, then remember, we take guidelines. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved son Ibrahim passed away, and Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak words were inna, he was 18 months old. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa inna bifiraqika lamahzunun ya Ibrahim. Oh, my beloved son Ibrahim, with your separation we are grieving, we are so sad, and I can't talk to you, I can't walk with you, and so forth and so on. And then the tears were rolling. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa anta ya Rasulallah, you also crying? Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is rahmah. So when you think about your father, your mother, they just passed away, someone near and dear, and then you cry unintentionally, that is rahmah and the mercy of Almighty Allah. But the screaming, shouting, acting, all that is haram at all times, all places.
Do we pay zakah on only 22 carat of gold and 18, or also 9?
Remember, on 9 carat there will not be any zakat, but if 18 carat, 22 carat, all that, there will be zakat. However, on 9 carat also there will be zakat if you are buying and selling it and so forth. It is used as, you know, stock in trade. You know, people today have jewelry shops and so forth. So if we are speaking about the 9 carat gold and you are selling it, then zakat will be compulsory on that. that. But if it is your own and you are using it and so forth, so remember on the 9 carat zakat, the 9 carat gold, there will not be any zakat, but 18 carat and above, there will be zakat, and you take the current market value and say, for example, 100,000, then you work out zakat 2.5%, so 2,500 rand, that is the zakat that will be compulsory upon you.
Insha'Allah, go on a break and resume with the third segment after the break.